Welcome to the Everyman Sports Podcast, the show for fans, by fans. No former pros, no so-called experts, just real passionate fans. From outside on a porch to inside a living room, in the parking lot of a stadium to the dining room table, friends and families chat about their teams, their games, and what makes them cheer. This is Everyman Sports.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. Our number is 626-427-7678. That's 626-427-7678, and you can follow us on Twitter at Everyman Sports. With me this week is Alex. How you doing, Alex?
I'm very well.
We missed you last week with the wrap-up of the Super Bowl, but we're happy to have you for a good stretch of time here. So yeah,
happy to be back.
All right, great. So let's just, I think we have to start off with probably the biggest story right now that honestly, it's getting some legs, but it's not really taking off as much as I thought it would, which is the Peyton Manning news story. So if you have not heard, Sean King of the Daily News of New York came out with a write-up of a alleged, and it seems like very prominent encounter he had, Peyton Manning, in 1996 with a team trainer, team physician. Now, I had heard this story in a roundabout way. I had heard the Mooning story. The first time I ever heard it was in the lead-up to the 1998 NFL draft when they were like, who do you pick, Manning or Leaf? Manning or Leaf? And at the time, they were like, well, on the field stuff, let's take a look at off the field stuff. And Ryan Leaf at that point, he was kind of like, you know, he's a bit of a bad boy. And then they mentioned like, well, Peyton Manning, the worst he's done is mooning somebody. So that was my first ever hearing of it. And I think most people hearing that of this mooning. But then it comes out it was a much more graphic and what would be termed as a sexual assault on a woman. And then from there, it seems as though there was a, pardon me, a settlement out of court. And then from there, it seems like the Mannings apparently broke it a couple times. And she took them to task on that. And yeah, so a lot of stuff has come out about that.
It's weird because the style of reporting of the story, like particularly Sean King, like he's not well-liked if you look at anything on Twitter.
He is a controversial figure. I mean, this is the person who not long ago, he's a big proponent of the Black Lives Matter movement. In fact, he was one of the more prominent journalists to be in favor of it. But he was one who got in, I don't want to say hot water because it doesn't really matter, but he was accused of not being black or not even being biracial.
Yeah.
I had heard the name. I'm like, Sean King. But then I was like, well, it's not the quarterback. I know that, the former NFL backup. So I was like, well, let me look him up. And then I was like, oh, right, this guy.
Yeah.
So to begin with, he's a controversial figure in journalism. And then for him to put this out, which is, to be fair, on the one hand, this is the what he had put out was her write-up. Like it was a court document submitted to the court. It was not a court document in the court, if I'm,
because it definitely strikes me as it's the whole piece was, oh, I've recently discovered this, and this is like, no, you've been sitting on this
right, exactly,
for this maximum time of impact.
Yes.
And it colors the whole scenario for me. Just you look at it and you just say, I don't know who to trust in this story.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But yeah.
I was sat here wanting Peyton Manning to lose so he could just retire in shadow of two rings, greatest quarterback ever, Eli Manning.
Right.
But has too much time gone past? Does
no.
it matter?
Well,
is it still,
it,
given
it's
he
tough.
Built his image on being this wholesome family man, does it?
Well, it's tough because, first of all, we're living in a, if I may coin a phrase, a post-Bill Cosby era. We're living a post-Bill Cosby world where, and I had heard it pointed out that, hey, you know, he's not Heathcliff Huxtable. He's somebody separate, so you can't think about his public persona as that. The same way with Peyton, you can't just think of him as, he's not this aw shucks up pitch man. to that, at least, I will say, But Heathcliff Huxtable did not come out and say, pull up your pants. Bill Cosby said, I am that man. Pull up your pants.
Yeah.
You know, Peyton on the field, he can be very competitive. I've heard some things that just like, he'll get into a trash-talking game. But when he's off the field, then he's like, oh, gee, shucks. So in that respect, there is a differential between the two people. Yeah. But yeah, so living in that world, I feel like this is already, it will be continuing because, in fact, Sean King has come out and said, like, this is the part one of what will be a multi-part expose on Peyton Manning.
Oh, but he's just discovered it.
Right, exactly. Like,
it's all new information.
Right. But I will say this, if you want Peyton Manning to retire, good news. He will be retiring. I will say it here because he's not going to go through another football season with every single post-game press conference in the weeks leading up to them conferences. He's not going to want to take questions about, I think her name's Jamie Northright or whatever. Mm-hmm. He's not going to want to answer questions about the University of Tennessee. So he's going to go, I have my rings, and I'm going to leave. We were also talking about before we recorded, his sponsorships are going to dry up. But to that I will say, they're going to dry up anyway because he's going to be retired.
Mm.
So it works twofold. It's kind of the person who's like, look, we're going to have to fire you, but we'll give you a severance package, like one of those things. Like, we'll see. You can say you quit, but we're still going to pay you. That sort of thing. It's like, all right, look, I'm going to retire, and that way it'll make it easier on us not having to say we're dropping you as a sponsor because of this.
Yeah.
So that's my take on it. So. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, it's unfortunate that, who was it? Charles Barkley said it perfectly. I am not a role model. Your role models, you can have idols, but somebody to live your life after should not be a professional athlete. Every single professional athlete is a bad person.
I want to have a word said against LT. I'm just saying.
Oh, Ladainian Thompson.
I have a huge man crush.
No. Hey, I like him too. There are a lot of people. Like, you know, I do kind of like Tim Tebow in a way. You know, look, I understand.
That's, you have one shot of who you put up on your pedestal.
No,
you
picked Tebow. It's not, but I mean, you know, but I'm just trying to think of like who's somebody, but I mean, this isn't going to affect Peyton Manning. The only thing it'll affect is because everybody said, like, well, what could Peyton Manning do when he retired? Maybe he could become an analyst. That's probably out. Maybe he could become a coach. Maybe not likely. So this has sort of hampered him. But at the same time, you can just be like, I think I'll go home and hope I don't get CTE.
Sit on all my money.
Right, exactly. I'll get season tickets to the Giants, and I'll root on Eli. And that's about it. So.
He can just sit in the box and look incredibly grumpy.
I know.
Every time Eli does anything.
Just like,
well.
To be fair, Peyton would be much more expressive. Still have Manning face, but still be more expressive than Eli thinking, 5 more minutes left on the game. I mean, that was very silly.
Oh, God.
And all the responses, like, what was he actually thinking? And all the memes that popped up of, I think they were playing, in one, it was a slow motion of that, and it's playing Simon Garfunkel in the background. Hello, darkness, my old friend. She's like, oh, no, it happened again. No. So in that respect, Peyton's going to go. And, you know, he will make the Hall of Fame. All of his on-the-field credentials will not be taken a hit. Look, Lawrence Taylor's in the Hall of Fame. They didn't remove his bust after he was found with an underage prostitute. So that's number one, okay? So just on the field... Like, it's interesting comparing movie, like, Hollywood to sports world. In Hollywood, because of your bankability and all that stuff, like, they pull, after the Bill Cosby stuff, they pulled reruns off of TV Land and all these future endeavors where the kibosh was put on. But in professional sports, it's, look, that's off the field. They didn't do it on the field. You know, it's really cut and dry in that respect.
I was just trying to think, like, do you think if and when Ben Roethlisberger retires, someone's going to write about his issues and be like, new information, or
that's the question. Is it better to have it happen while you're playing than afterwards? Like, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, there's a perfect example. I mean, he's not a bankable star as much as Peyton has been, but he's definitely, you know, he's got his problems.
And you also think, like, junior year of college this is alleged to have happened. It's just like...
It's a lot of stuff. It's a lot of stuff to say. So that's Peyton. What did you think about... Oh, so everything's all right. Don't worry about
Nobody's died.
Nope, everything's all right. We're right on schedule. that's the 10-minute mark. That was the 10-minute mark beeper, if I may. Well, what was your take on the Super Bowl? Just getting back to... Because we didn't have you last week.
It was a strange game to watch. Yes. Because I think in the run-up to it, I'd essentially written off... Every year, you forget that defenses can win.
Defenses have pretty much won the last several Super Bowls.
Yeah, and it made me want to go back and watch the Ravens.
2000.
Because I was just like...
It's a great
season. It just made me feel like that again. I was just like, "What? This is a defensive show, and they don't know what to do."
No.
It was weird seeing that offense just look so lost.
Yeah, the Panthers' offense. Just not knowing what to do.
Yeah. I was fully on board with the punter MVP.
Yes, right? Brett Colquitt. Yeah. Just at least to put in a vote
somewhere in like the six to eight most votes range.
Yeah, just be like, you know, kind of like how Google Trends used to be a big thing. Like, oh, let's see if we can Google bomb something. So kind of like, how do we get... Oh, right, let's vote for the punter. No, he's not going to win.
We should have just like got it onto Reddit or something. Suddenly 400,000 people vote for
that's Colquitt. Amazing. How did that happen? But again, his name wasn't there and there was no write-in vote, so to heck with that.
But yeah, no, it was impressive. I think the right MVP was picked. To be honest, yes. You could just pick anyone along that front seven.
Right, but Von Miller, he's the name. And he had such a great... And that strip sack was just too much.
How do you feel seeing Cam now? Do you think he's helped himself with saying...
No, he hasn't helped himself. I wasn't trying to get hurt. My take on it, or my thing that I am disappointed in Cam, I still like him. He's a very good player. The only thing that I will say is the pregame stuff, and I'm talking about like the week leading up when saying nobody's seen anything like me before, you know, America's not ready for a black quarterback. That's the kind of... It's one thing when you are just like, man, I'm a sore loser, but I don't care. But it's another thing. We're like, I'm the best.
I talked myself up.
Exactly. And then it happened, and like, man, that's what I'm upset at.
Yeah.
All the other stuff, you know, when you're... If he wants to walk, if it was just he was being calm and cool leading up to it, and then the pros game comes and be like, look, he lost the Super Bowl. You're considered a loser in the world if you lose a Super Bowl. You've made it to the top two of all 32 team and you're in second place and you're just like, you stink.
Yeah.
You're the worst. So that's where I would have been like, you know what, I understand. But all the stuff leading up where it's like, he was pulling a Muhammad Ali.
I was about to say, it sounds... All the lead up was like, this is like a boxing promoter.
It's the Super Bowl. It's pretty... That's like having advertisement for the Super Bowl. Unless it's just...
There's
like...
no pay-per-view purse on the line. You can just be a human.
The only advertising the Super Bowl needs is the name of the channel it's going to be on and the time. That's it. You can just have a giant billboard that says Super Bowl, you know, CBS. And you can even have CBS and 5:30 or whatever.
I just want to hear like the radio ad for like the Super Bowl. Super Bowl Sunday. Monster Truck.
These two teams. It all comes down to this. So stuff like that. But yeah. Did you think it was a catch? Jericho Cotchery's catch.
In real time, I thought it was. On the playback, the ball is being helped by the floor.
Well,
upset the prop bet. What's the referee's name?
Oh, Mike Carey.
Mike Carey. I had faith, and he
there was the prop
ball.
Bet. Yeah, if he got it right or wrong, and it, one call, the first call of the game, he was wrong. They didn't bring him back on. Now there weren't too many other, like I don't know what's the, but he they said no more.
So I was gonna say like when it came down to Carolina using all its challenges, it didn't matter in the end. There wasn't ever that. Oh, God, what have they done? They've missed the obvious call.
Right.
But with turnovers and scoring plays being reviewed, it's you lessen the chance of that big howler anyway.
Yeah.
It was a whip, like, you got 7 yards. Is that enough for a challenge?
I don't know. And it's not like it helped them out, so.
No, and Mike Tolbert fumbling is a sad sight.
Oh.
Every time I see him run with the ball, I'm like, you are a bowling ball of a human.
Do it.
I want you to do well.
Come on, champ, you can do it.
And then he fumbles. Like 12 miles an hour, or however quick he can run.
Right, just all, like the new Mike Allstott or Jerome Bettis, yeah.
When I first started watching NFL back in the day, I just remember fond memories of Jerome Bettis, and he just makes me think of that again.
He's very good in that respect. So that was sad to see. So,
but yeah, I'm curious to see. I think next season's going to be interesting,
right,
for the Panthers.
It will be. Speaking of next season, very quickly, a couple of big names have are being led into free agency, and some have already been nabbed up. The Jets have already franchise tagged Muhammad Wilkerson, so he's probably going to stay around. Well, he will stay around. He's been franchise tagged. So for the Jets, so that keeps their front line intact. But Matt Forte is going to leave the Bears, so he's going to be a big. I think he's going to be a very popular signing for a lot of teams. Already people are saying, well, obviously the Patriots, because here's pretty much an every down back. He's an every down back. He's a pass catching back. And even at his age, I think he's 20. How old is he? 26?
Matt Forte's 30.
Get out of town, is he?
Yep.
All right. Well, then he might not be an every down back somewhere else.
Well, you say like D'Angelo Williams. How old?
He's old.
And he's had an absolute resurgence this season.
Yeah. But he's one name out of countless others where you're just like, what happened to...
You also say he played for the Panthers team not doing a whole lot for most of his career. Well,
right, because he was always, there was always somebody else, because it was D'Angelo Williams and... what was his face? Davis? No, that was too long ago.
No.
But, you know, Jonathan Stewart.
Yeah.
Him and D'Angelo Williams would cut time, and then he went somewhere else to be the backup, and then he was being leaned upon with Le'Veon Bell out. So he's somewhere, you know, Matt Forte could be a big signing. Mm.
I've always rated Doug Martin. I think he's probably the one I'd try and get.
Well, he's younger. He almost won a rushing championship on a flawed team this year.
Yeah. Well, you just have to look. The difference between this year and last year is Tampa have had a real quarterback.
Yes.
And as soon as, hey, you get on a team that actually has some semblance of a passing threat, he can get yards.
He sure can. And another pass-catching back. But he's younger, so, but I would say that he might go to somewhere like Seattle. He went to Boise State, so that area of the country. And with Marshawn Lynch retiring, which is a big deal.
Yeah. I think he runs a very different game to sort of the Marshawn Lynch style.
Oh, yeah. He's not as powerful a back. He's much more of a scat back. He makes tackles.
He's more on the Jamal Charles end of the spectrum.
Yes.
But he's still closer to the north-south runner than that.
Yes.
Extreme.
Very true. Jamal Charles, he went to Special Olympics. And it's amazing. You think, like, how does an NFL... Oh, right, he's... I think he was dyslexic, which is what made him able to go to the Special Olympics, because he did qualify in that respect. And then I found out today Kirk Cousins and the Redskins have cut off negotiations. So unless they franchise tag him, which that might be too much, it looks like.
Yeah,
but
that's a pretty depressing state of affairs.
Right. When you're like, well, we don't need RG3 anymore. We've got Kirk Cousins. Oh, boy, we can't talk to their agent anymore. What do we do? But are you going to spend money? A franchise tag, for anybody who doesn't know, means that you are going to pay this player amongst the top five highest paid at their position. So if they were to franchise Kirk Cousins, the Redskins, they would put him in a pay scale amongst the likes of Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Joe Flacco. Again, a franchise tag.
Yeah.
Just in the top five, and basically every year that they are franchise. You can only franchise a player, I think, once. Only once in their career with that team.
Mm.
So, like, the Giants can't franchise tag Eli Manning every single year. Like, I think they, if I remember correctly, they can only do it once. But for that one time, they are paid in the top five. Mm. Of
and once you've earned your money as a player, you're...
Right.
Are you going to go to a different team that can't...
Right, exactly. But if you can't work out a deal and you use the franchise tag, Kirk Cousins, is he amongst Ben Roethlisberger, the player? Is he amongst Tom Brady, Cam Newton?
Oh, he's clearly on the... in the top five.
Yeah, no.
It's clearly a ridiculous argument to suggest otherwise.
But when you're looking around, you're like, oh, we made the playoffs. We got to do something. Redskins are going to have to franchise tag him, it looks like. Otherwise, they're not going back to RG3.
Yeah. Is there anyone in the draft they could...
They're talking again? About this, I think, was it South Dakota State kid? Like, well, first of all, there's, was it Paxton Lynch, I think, for quarterbacks in the 2000... Because who is it? The Cowboys are all over this kid.
And what then...
What's his name?
Is RG3 still going to the Cowboys?
It seems like it.
Ugh.
I mean...
Jerry Jones, mate.
What?
Jerry Jones. Sort out your life.
Carson Wentz is who they project, I think, yes, South Dakota State, if I remember correctly. He's supposed to be the real big time one that they're going to look after. Actually, the Cowboys want to go after him. And that's because they have the third pick in the draft. And they're saying the first two picks are going to be quarterbacks. I think it was Paxton Lynch. And there's a third guy whose name is totally leaving me right now. So, but yeah, the Carson Wentz is a big name that everybody's looking at. I think that's a Division III team, but he had a great Senior Bowl, which is where you showcase your talents future... you're standing in the league, basically, in the NFL. So that's what they say. And
I'm just looking at the draft order, and it's just Chargers being third. Like, if we could pick up a player like AJ Green or Julio Jones, I would just be over the moon. But we're going to draft a lineman.
Here are the top four quarterbacks in prospects. Jared Goff from California. Carson Wentz from North Dakota State.
Mm-hmm.
Paxton Lynch and Connor Cook, the Michigan State quarterback, who might be better as he's sort of like a Kirk Cousins type. Like, he'd be a better backup, it seems like. Not quite a starter. So that's for the draft. Yeah, pretty soon is one of my favorite times is the NFL Combine. It's like the Olympics for
oddly specific movements.
Yes, but if you love the 40-yard dash or then you probably like the relay or the what is it, the 100-meter dash sort of stuff, like the high jump, the weightlifting, all that sort of stuff. The high jump where they have these slats and you jump up high and you smack the slats and that's how high you can jump.
My favorite is just seeing the big guy do the 40.
Yes,
just big guys doing 40s, and then they overlay them with the
really fast
doing it.
With the really fast ones. Like,
and it's you against Marcus Reese with a 20-yard head start, and he still finishes it. Just those are the best.
Those are good too. So moving over to basketball real quickly, the NBA All-Star Game happened with the highest point total points scored ever in a All-Star Game history. They don't play defense.
Do you care about it yet?
Not quite.
No.
Honestly, I'm more interested in the slam dunk contest, although the big names don't go to the slam dunk contest anymore. And I've always been a fan of the three-point shooting.
Yeah.
Those are always my favorite. there was almost a big deal for the Knicks. The Knicks and the Cavaliers, with Carmelo Anthony possibly going to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Anthony's older. And he wants to win a championship, and going to the Cavaliers would seem like a good way to do it. He's good friends with LeBron James, and he'd make the team stronger. But he's got no trade clause in his contract. Doesn't want to leave New York, and so he's going to stay around. He says he wants to stay around to win a championship with the Knicks, but he's not going to be able to lead that team, and he's not as good a second. There's not enough pieces for him to be like, well, I'll be a hanger on here, as opposed to going somewhere else and being a hanger on there. Like, hey, I won my title. I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, because he's not going to be as bankable a star in terms of the contract he can get when his current one is up. So, it's unfortunate that, because a trade like that with the Knicks could have really helped their standing in future seasons, because they've got Porzingis, but. you know, he doesn't want to go anywhere. It's hard to leave New York.
Yeah. It's, once you're here.
Yes. If you're going to Cleveland, you know, if your wife is, was it Lala? What's it? I always forget Carmela's name. She's popular on like the VH1 shows. I forget what her name is. But all that sort of stuff. So, but now we get into the second half, and we'll see just how, if the Golden State Warriors can break the Bulls' record of 72-10, best record all time in a season. And we'll see. And the Spurs, who've been playing very well, if they can overtake or at least beat the Warriors in the postseason. But we'll get to that. That's for a future time. So. But I also noticed, Alex, that the Champions League is currently going on in European soccer.
Yep. So it was the first game of the knockout stages.
Right.
So from this point on, Champions League, it's you play home game, away game, and the winner of each game goes through. So at this point, it's like NFL playoffs with a knockout.
Right. You have to play more than one game, and then it's like, If it's tied, it's like goal differential?
Yeah, so in the Champions League group stages, away goals count for more than home goals.
Oh, okay.
So if it's, say you're tied, but I scored two goals at your ground and you only scored one at mine,
right.
My goals now count double.
Wow. Which makes sense.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's harder to score away from home.
Right.
Traditionally. But yeah, this is the real meat of the Champions League. Like, this is where you get the weird matchups where it's like, today's game's going to be, well, tomorrow's game when we're recording is going to be Roma-Real Madrid. And it's going to be a very hotly contested match.
Right.
Cristiano Ronaldo has already walked out of a press conference because someone had the gall to criticize that his away form hadn't been great.
Really?
He's not scored in four games. And so all the media's like, oh, you're terrible. And he's like, I've just scored 11 goals in the group stage. Chill out.
But when you're a big star like Ronaldo is.
Yeah, when you, not even the world's most expensive player now, but yeah, one of the greats. And he's just like, I'm kind of done with your press conference.
Pretty much.
Walk off. Arsenal, who are my team, have to face Barcelona, which they probably won't win. This is the problem. Arsenal in the group stage of the Champions League always finish second in their group, which means that in the knockout stage, they face the harder teams. They face the group winners.
Okay, gotcha.
So the last eight seasons, we've had to face one of the top European teams because we never win the group.
Right.
So, but yeah, that's the other big game of this sort of first round. Manchester City playing Dynamo Kiev might be an upset, but... Yeah.
Man City.
yeah. Apparently, Man United are on course to become the world's biggest club. Because, you know, big football news this week. Even though they're not doing very well.
What do you
well.
Mean the biggest club?
Most money. Most. So they are.
Oh, so they're like how in the NFL there's like the Forbes list of most, valuable franchises. Yeah, it's like the Cowboys.
Because apparently Man United have just been doing massive business in and like developing markets like China.
Yes.
They have just hundreds of millions of Chinese football fans.
From my understanding on this side, having not really followed the European League, like they're kind of like the Yankees, the Cowboys, the Lakers of European soccer, where it's, you know, just like it's the name recognition.
Yeah, like they're definitely the English team. It's like Manchester United, Liverpool, these are the teams that non-English football fans would see and be like, yes, storied franchise.
Right, Arsenal, like I know Arsenal and stuff like that.
Like even in the UK, basketball is still a growing sport. Everyone knows about the Chicago Bulls.
Yes.
Everybody knows Michael Jordan. Like,
especially North Korea even knows about them. What's the story? Madeleine Albright visited North Korea and brought a ball signed by, because this was mid-90s, so the mid-90s Bulls, like Michael Jordan signed the ball, and so Kim Jong-il, like basically North Korea then became Bulls fans.
Yeah.
And
Dennis Rodman, best friends with Kim Jong-il.
Dennis Rodman, that's why he went over, because he's like, oh, Dennis Rodman on the 96 club. It's
Can
amazing.
You imagine being in North Korea and not seeing another human being outside of like your village, and then Dennis Rodman appears?
Dennis
Rodman. What you'd think
with,
the rest of the world
with
was like.
Dennis Rodman with his giant bug-eyed glass sunglasses and then just walking around.
Just yeah. Dennis Rodman as a human being. It's
amazing.
You'd assume you'd seeing an alien.
Pretty much. A giant alien at that. Very tall man with the hair and the hats and the whatnot.
The only other news I can think of in international sport is the Rugby Union Six Nations is starting, when it's just played its second week. So the Six Nations is a rugby union tournament between England, Wales, Scotland, Ireland, Italy, France.
Okay.
And it's one of the only sport, one of the only rugby unions, one of the only sports where Ireland competes as a whole nation.
Oh, okay. Including Northern Ireland. Is that what you're saying?
So it's both Northern Ireland and Ireland come together to compete. And it's been, especially, it's been a growing cause for unity in Ireland. Whereas like soccer, they play Northern Ireland, Republic of Ireland.
Yes.
Olympics, it's Team GB, Great Britain,
right,
which includes Northern Ireland, and then
England.
Ireland, which has an
I'm just thinking of World Cup too, where it's like England and the Three Lions and then Scotland and Ireland, or England,
But it's also one of the sports where England, Wales, Scotland compete separately to UK.
Right, yeah.
So there's always a big rivalry between the smaller nations in England. Smaller in air quotes. Because they're often recently. But,
that's a good point, yeah.
But yeah, I've been trying to find a pub that shows it.
Well, I know that for the NFL, you can I forget the name of the website, but you can go on if you're in like New York City and you're a Steelers fan. Like, what bar can I go to watch this? So I'm sure there's got to be one, especially in this area.
Where we record should be. I imagine University Town. There should be enough of.
Oh yeah,
a rugby following.
Yeah, we aren't far from Princeton University, so there's definitely going to be something within the area. It's very simple to kind of look up and even call around. Like, hey. Do you know a place where
I can watch Wales, Italy at 11 a.m. with a beer?
I would like so
people start asking questions about who you are and what you're calling.
That would be perfect. All right, well, I think we did it for this week. Awesome. Alex, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll be back next week. Our number again is 626-427-7678. That's 626-427-7678. And you can follow us on Twitter at EverymanSports. Andrew, please, if you will, take it away.
This has been another episode of Everyman Sports. The show's music is Cold Funk by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under CC Attribution 3.0. Everyman Sports can be found on Facebook.com, where you can like it to receive updates and news. Visit Everyman Sports in the iTunes Store to leave a review of the show. Also, visit everymansports.podbean.com directly to comment and support. Everyman Sports can be contacted directly at everymansports@gmail.com.